Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace, from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, we will continue our worship service with the singing of Psalm 91, the stanzas 1, 2, and 5. God guards the good with watchful eye, his ear attentive to their cry. Against the wicked sets his face, from earth their memory to erase. Psalm 91, stanzas 1, 2, and 5. Scripture reading for this evening you can find in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 25, starting at verse 31 through the end. He mentioned to you Matthew, chapter 25, But before we will do confession with the words of the 12 articles of our undoubted Catholic Christian faith, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We mentioned to you Matthew chapter 25, starting at verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of these of the least of my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And ye shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Thus far.
Congregation, let us ask the Lord for his blessing and his presence among us tonight. Let us pray together. Almighty, eternal, only true Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, thou who art that holy, high, majestic being in the heavens, and as we read in thy word of those seraphims that fly about thy throne, and cover their faces with their wings and their feet and cry, "Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And who are we, these tiny little sinful creatures on this earth, to open our mouth unto thee? Lord, give a little impression, give that true humility. And what a wonder thou hast said in thy word, instructed us to open our mouth wide and that thou would fill it. O Lord, we confess by nature we are prayerless. Wilt thou give grace that sinners would be born again and that we may become true prayers, sires at thy throne of grace. Lord, teach us to pray, not only to come before thee in true humility, bowing in the dust because of all our sinfulness, all our sins and iniquities, but also, Lord, wilt thou give that faith to look up unto thee, to believe that thou art a rewarder of them that diligently seek thee. Lord, we need thy grace, and we need thy spirit to give the opening, to give the expression of prayer as we come before thee. Lord, we are completely dependent upon thee, upon thy grace, and upon thy Holy Spirit. And as we read of thy servant John, he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. May that also be of many among us. Lord, we beg and pray thee then in the second time on thy day, as we may come into thy house to hear what thou hast to say unto us. O, wilt thou gather with us and give those blessings that only can come from above, from a triune God, from the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Lord, we beg and pray thee, have mercy upon us and give us those blessings that no man can give us. And as again we may consider and hear thy precious word, but also of that exalted, ascended Savior at the right hand, who will also return. And Lord, we all know this truth, that thou wilt return. We have been taught it since we were very young, but oh, may it become so new for us. May it become that we would become guilty before thee, that thou wilt return and we are not prepared. Oh, that we may then be brought to that place to confess our sin. Oh, we beg thee, work mightily by thy word and spirit, and convince sinners of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, of sin, because they believe not on thee. Lord, we beg and pray thee that tonight, through the preaching of thy word and thy return, as we have heard from thy word, that thou wilt come and separate the sheep and the goats. Oh, wilt thou bless it powerfully, irresistibly, and that sinners may be awakened from their sleep, that they may be spiritually awakened, and that they may then be crying unto thee, "Lord, prepare me to stand before thee." That grace thou revealest unto the saints, reveal it unto me. Lord, we beg thee then that thy word may be accompanied with the irresistible power of the Holy Spirit, that hearts would be renewed, that thy word may come with power, not only into the ear, but into the heart, that the outward call may become that internal call, and that it may bring life, and that sinners may die to themselves and seek life only in thee. But Lord, remember also all thy dear people as we may consider tonight thy second coming. Oh, wilt thou give them then to see not only that born Savior, not only that Savior that kept thy law perfectly for transgressors, not only that suffering, dying Savior who paid, but also who rose again, who was exalted, but may they also grow in the grace, in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he will return. O Lord, we beg thee then that it may become a comfort for poor and needy sinners who long to be delivered from sin, from all the assaults of Satan, from flesh. Oh, that they may be looking forward to that day that thou wilt come and take them home, that thou wilt redeem them, deliver them from all sin and evil, and to enter into that place where there will be no more sin, no more flesh, that place where they may dwell eternally in sweet communion, Lord, with thee, forever delivered, no more doubt, no more unbelief, no more grieving the Spirit, no more sinning against thee, that holy and good-doing God whom they love in their hearts, because thou hast poured love in their hearts, and there's love for thee and for thy Son. O Lord, wilt thou richly bless thy word? May it become comfort for poor and needy sinners. And Lord, we beg thee, thy people, we must confess that we are in this world and that we live so close with the world that we do not live as pilgrims as we ought to, that we do not live as thy people of old, as we read, especially also of Abraham, who looked for that city to come, whose builder and maker is God, who longed to see that coming, to be delivered forever from sin, and to be able to eternally serve thee. Lord, we beg thee, give a revival. Stir up the hearts of thy dear people, that sin may become sin, and hated, fled from, that they may mortify and kill the flesh, and that they may live according to all thy commandments, to thy entire will. Also, as we heard in this morning, O Lord, wilt thou then look upon us and bless us with thy grace, and give that mercy and that favor, that hearts would be broken, that hearts would be stirred up to love thee, to serve thee, to live for thee, and to love our neighbor as ourself. O, give us then also eyes to see each one of those around us, that we are all sinners, and that we are all sinners traveling to a never-ending eternity, and soul lost, all lost. O, help us then as fathers in our homes to instruct and teach our children, our families, our dear wives, of the truth of thy precious word. Help us, Lord, as parents, as fathers, as mothers, give the tender fear of the Lord in our hearts, and that we may live according to the promise that we have made unto thee, to the utmost of our power, to instruct our dear children. And Lord, we beg thee then, that thy word that may be opened in thy house, in catechism classes, in confession of faith, in the Bible studies, in prison, but also in our homes, that thou would bless it. Lord, we pray that thou would teach sinners of who they are, of who thou art, and of that only way of salvation. We beg and pray thee, Lord, that thy people may produce more fruit for the honor and for the glory of thy name, that they may not only seek forgiveness of sins, but also to have a cleansed heart, cleansed thoughts, affections, desire, and a will. Oh, may they grow also in sanctification. Lord, it's thy work. Give them thy grace and thy spirit, and that by thy word thou would sanctify them and conform them more and more to the image of thy dear Son. Lord, look upon us all in mercy. Remember those who are dead in sins and trespasses. Lord, remember them in mercy. Give life. Convict of sin and lead them to repentance and to that true faith in thee and in thy Son. But Lord, remember all thy dear people, the little lambs and the sheep. Thou knowest what they stand in need of. And thy word is profitable, as we read, for all things. Thou knowest if they need reproof and admonishment, whether they need instruction, but also comfort, Lord. And as we consider also tonight a piece of that only true comfort in life and in death, oh, wilt thou apply it by thy Spirit, that it may not only be information, that we would not only understand it, but that it would be blessed, applied to our hearts, by the power of the Holy Spirit, and that we may be living, looking unto thee, the author and the finisher of the faith, longing for thy return to come, for thy honor, for thy glory, for thy kingdom to come, that thou would be exalted to the highest, and that all thy enemies would be destroyed. Lord, we pray, come among us then tonight with thy presence and the work of the Holy Spirit. May we lay before thee the whole congregation and all the cares and the needs. All those who are mourning, comfort them, Lord. Those who have lost a dear husband or a wife, those who have lost a child or a sibling, other relatives or a friend. O Lord, wilt thou sanctify the callings that come unto us. As thou art speaking, prepare to meet thy God. Lord, remember all the sick and afflicted with cares for the needs for the body, but also for the mind. Help them, Lord. May we again especially also beg thee to remember also Luke. Help him day by day. Bless the means that may be used for his body, but remember also his soul. Lord, remember all those among us with special cares and needs for the body and for the mind. Remember those who care for them. Help them with this daily cross. Give them what they stand in need of and care for them, Lord. Thou art that almighty God. Thou hearest the poor and needy when they cry unto thee. Thy ear is open unto the cry. Oh, may we beg thee then, Lord, have mercy and remember each one for our body and for our soul. Lord, we beg and pray thee, remember us in our marriages. Give love for one another, care for one another, and that we may live according to the command of thy word, that we may live as husbands, loving our wives as Christ loved the church, and that we may live as wives, as we read in thy word, reverencing our husbands as unto the Lord. Lord, give faithfulness. Help those who may struggle in their marriages. Kindle that love, and that they may care for each other for this life and for the life to come. Lord, we lay before thee also the education of our children in the home and in the school. Bless it, Lord. Remember Rehoboth Christian School, the school board, the staff, the teachers, but especially also all the students. Lord, may we beg thee, richly bless thy word there, and that children, students, teenagers may be born again, that they may have a heart, that they cannot serve the world, but they long to serve thee. O Lord, we beg thee, help us all live in this world, in these dark times, where Satan is going about as a roaring lion, longing to destroy thy church. O, we beg thee, keep us from all temptations and sin, and give that we may have the tender fear of the Lord in our hearts. Lord, we beg and pray thee, remember the government that thou hast set over us. Remember the prime minister, all those who rule over us federally, provincially, and locally. Oh, may we beg thee, Lord, that thou would give them, that thy tender fear of the Lord may be in their hearts, that they long to serve thee, to obey thee, and to rule this nation according to thy word. Lord, remember us as a nation, all our sins that rise up against thee. We have sinned against all thy commandments. Lord, have mercy and give repentance. Give a return unto thee, but also those great sins of all that blood that cries out unto thee, of euthanasia, of abortion. Lord, give, yet that there may be that respect that we are created in the image of God, and that there may be that protection of life from the moment of conception until natural death. Lord, remember those little lives, those little babies in the wombs of their mother. Care for them, protect them. Also among us, those who are expecting, help the mothers and care for that life. Lord, we lay then all these needs before thee. We are unworthy because of all our sins, because of all our iniquities. But oh, may we beg thee, Lord, remember us as a congregation, also in this week, as we will have a consistory meeting, wilt thou give that the congregation may be praying for us, that thou would guide us and lead us by thy word and spirit. Remember also the congregational meeting that will take place, the Lord willing, next week. Lord, thou knowest also the responsibility to elect an elder and a deacon. Oh, we beg thee then guide the hearts of each man to vote, and that it may be a man of thy choosing. And Lord, who is sufficient for these things, that may we be comforted. Faithful is he that calleth, who will also do it. Give, that we may live, dependent upon thee, needing thee, living close to thee, abiding in thee, and that thou would give daily thy grace, thy spirit, also in the offices. Lord, have mercy upon us. May we beg thee, give opening to preach. For Lord, if thou wilt close, who can open? But if thou wilt open, who can close? Give the unction of the Holy Spirit to preach, and be with each hearer. Help to listen, help to understand, also the children. Lord, bless thy word, we beg and pray. Have mercy on us. Wash and cleanse us from all our many sins. For Jesus' sake alone, amen. Congregation, let us continue now with singing from Psalter 266, all three stanzas. God is King forever, let the nations tremble. Throned above the cherubim, by all the earth adored. He is great in Zion, high above all peoples. Praise him with fear, for holy is the Lord. 266, all stanzas in the collection this evening is the first for the church, and the second for the Terra home. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. congregation, we read in Lord's Day 7, question and answer 22, what is then necessary for a Christian to believe? All things promised us in the gospel, which the articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith teach us. And so we are considering the articles of the Catholic undoubted Christian faith. And we've come to the end of Article 6, which was, He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father. So the Lord Jesus Christ came to this world, He suffered, He died, He arose again, He ascended into heaven, and He's sitting at the right hand of God the Father. That means He was exalted to the highest. He received a place of honor. He received a name above all names, Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Is His name above every name in your heart and in your life? But He also was given all power as the head of the church to govern over the church. And that's a blessing. For who? For those poor, helpless sinners who cannot deliver themselves, who cannot help themselves, but need a mighty Savior to teach them, to lead them, to guide them, and to protect them every day. And He will bring them to glory. Is it a comfort that the Lord Jesus Christ is an exalted, almighty Savior of sinners? And at His ascension, the angels spoke to His disciples while they were looking up to Him. Remember what they said? What do we read in Acts 1, verse 11? Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen Him go up into heaven. And remember, the Lord Jesus Christ, when He was upon earth, He also spoke about His ascent or His return. We read that in Matthew 25, verse 31, where the Lord Jesus said, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. So the Lord Jesus Christ ascended up into heaven, but He also is going to return. And that's the seventh article of the Catholic undoubted Christian faith, which the church confesses. From whence He shall return to judge the quick, and children, that means the living. He shall judge the quick and the dead. What the Lord Jesus Christ taught about His return and what the Bible reveals of His return, of His second coming, we read a summary of that in Lord's Day 19, especially in question and answer number 52, which you can find in the back of your Psalter, page 47 and 48. Question and answer 52. What comfort is it to thee that Christ shall come again to judge the quick and the dead? And the answer, that in all my sorrows and persecutions, with uplifted head, I look for the very same person who before offered himself for my sake to the tribunal of God and has removed all curse from me, to come as judge from heaven, who shall cast all his and my enemies into everlasting condemnation, but shall translate me with all his chosen ones to himself into heavenly joys and glory. And so with the help of the Lord, we will consider the following theme and two thoughts. The comfort of Christ's second coming. The first thought, the comfort of who will come again. Who will come again? We heard in Acts 1 verse 11, the same Jesus. And we read in this answer, the same person and other details. So the comfort of who will come again. We consider who is he that will come again. The second thought, the comfort of what he will do when he comes again. What will he do? And it will be either a comfort for you, an eternal comfort, or it will be for eternal wrath. And so the comfort of Christ's second coming, the comfort of who will come again, and the comfort of what he will do when he comes again. So our first thought, the comfort of who will come again, from whence he shall return to judge the quick, the living, and the dead. So the return of the Lord Jesus Christ to this earth is called his second coming. Children, the Lord Jesus Christ will come again to this world. When? How? Where did he come in the flesh the first time? You say, I know, in Bethlehem. Exactly, in a manger. Yes, and he was born of the Virgin Mary. He came as a baby. This was the first time that the Lord Jesus Christ came upon this earth in his flesh. We call that his humble birth. But then he left the world in his ascension. He went back into heaven, back into glory at the right hand of his Father. But he's also going to come again to this earth. That's called his return or his second coming. That's what it is about tonight. So how will he come? Or in what manner will the Lord Jesus Christ come again? Well, let's think of how he came in the first time. How did he come the first time? He came in humility. He left the glory of that holy purity with his Father. And he came as a dependent baby, dependent upon his mother who was a sinner. He became poor, he who was rich, to be able to make poor sinners rich. He came in a manger, in a dirty place. He came to in a poor family, in a little city, unimportant. But he will return. How will he return? He will return as the exalted one. Let's read verse 31 again. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. So we hear he will come in glory. He came in humility, and now he will come exalted in glory. God the Father has exalted him as the judge of all the earth. So he will come in a glorious fashion. He will come on a throne, as we read in the Word of God. What type of a throne? A throne of glory, of splendor, that no man can explain today. The throne of his holiness, and we read in his word. Great white throne, as we read in Revelation 20, verse 11. I saw a great white throne. So in what manner will he come? In glory. Remember when he was born, angels sang about his first coming? How will he come in his second coming? We read that. And all the holy angels with him. He will come on the clouds of heaven in glory on a throne with myriads of angels in splendor and glory, the exalted, glorious Savior. What will happen when he comes? What does the Bible tell us? There will be a sound of a trumpet that the whole earth will hear, everyone. The dead will hear it and they will rise. And his voice will resound. His voice, the Son of Man, shall come in glory. What a great day. The day of the Lord, as Peter writes in 2 Peter 3, verse 10, the second coming. First time in humility, as a servant, humbling himself. But now he will return in the second time in the future in exalted glory. Glorious in person, in majesty, in glory, in splendor. And he will receive a glorious escort of all the holy angels. In his death, he was escorted to the cross, to death by wicked Roman soldiers. But now, when he comes again, the holy angels, all those pure, glorious beings will come with him. And you'll be escorted in his second coming to this earth. And so the question is, are you prepared? That's the question today. Are you prepared for his second coming? But who will return? Let's think about that. It's a beautiful answer. Who will return? Who is coming again? The Lord Jesus Christ. Let us look at that answer again. Let us read it again. Answer 52. That in all my sorrows and persecutions, with uplifted head, I look for who? For the very same person, they wrote. What person? He who before offered himself for my sake to the tribunal of God and has removed all curse from me. He will come again. The Lord Jesus Christ, he will come as the judge from heaven. Who will come? The Lord Jesus Christ. May I ask you a question? Do you know him? Do you know him? No, I'm not asking if you can write his name down. Do you know him? Does he know you? Does that good shepherd know you? Are you one of his sheep? Do you belong to him? Or are you still living in rebellion against him, dead in sins, in trespasses? You've never bowed before this king. You've never surrendered to this king. You don't have a heart that longs to serve, to obey, to follow him. You don't love his commandments. You don't love his will. Is that still you? You still long to only do your own will? You're against him? You're an enemy? The Lord Jesus Christ will return. He who knows you, who knows every single one, he will return. Or have you been sought by him, found by him, renewed by him, and brought in by him into relationship with him? And has your life begun to live for his honor, for his glory? You long to serve him. That's your desire because you love him, because he poured love in your heart. It's comfort for those who belong to him that he, that same Jesus Christ who sought them, found them, renewed them, he will come. That very same person, that very same good shepherd who sought and found and saved you, sheep. The one whom they know in part now. Yes, but they know him. He's revealed himself unto him, the very same one. The one whom they heard his voice speaking through his word, the same voice of that same shepherd, because the sheep know his voice. They hear his voice as that prophet through the law, but they also hear his voice through the gospel. That same one, they will hear his voice. It will not be a voice they've never heard before, but they will recognize the voice of the good shepherd. They will know him, the same person, that same Savior, that same Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Please open your Bible to Job chapter 19. The one whom they began to saw by faith while living upon this earth. That the Lord gave them that faith to believe who they are, who the Lord is, but also who that Redeemer is. That one whom they began to love. That one who is altogether lovely, the chiefest among 10,000, they will see that known Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, as Job said, as we read in Job 19, verse 25 and the following verses. Listen to what Job said. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Job saw by faith that the Redeemer, that he would see him in the future with his own eye and not another, that he himself would see him, but that he would see his Redeemer. And then that verse ends, verse 27, though my reins be consumed within me. What does that mean? Well, reins in the Bible speaks of the deep affections. The deep affections, the deepest affections. So Job is saying, when you really translate this last phrase, he is saying, my heart yearns and longs to see my Savior and my Redeemer. He's consumed in his reins to see that day when he can see his Redeemer. He sees it by faith. And that's a comfort for Job in all his misery and all his afflictions, even though he will die and go back to the dust. By faith he sees the future, that comfort of who will come, of whom he will receive, that same Savior, his Redeemer. So the comfort of who will return. Who? What do we read? The same Jesus in Acts 1 verse 11. And in the answer, the same person. But who specifically? What do they write? What do they say? What's the comfort for that guilty, wretched, sorrowing people who long to be delivered? He who before offered himself for my sake to the tribunal of God and has removed all curse from me. So who will return? The same person, that same Lord Jesus Christ, that one who gave himself as an offering. How did he do this? He offered himself upon the cross as a sacrifice to his Father at the tribunal of God. It was a sacrifice before his Father to satisfy his justice for all his dear sheep who had nothing to pay. Who will return? The one who offered himself at the tribunal of God the Father to satisfy his justice and thereby removing all the curse that was upon his sheep. Where did he make that offering? At the very place where you will stand. Think about that. At the very place where you will stand. At the place where you are guilty because of your sin. At that place, if the Lord should mark your iniquities, you cannot stand. At that very place, at that place where the law condemns you because of all your sin that you have done and that you still do in your thoughts and words and deeds. The place where you, of your own self, standing there by yourself, will only be cursed and eternally perish because of all your sins, original sins and actual sins. At that very place, he who will return, he who offered himself at the tribunal of God, removing the curse. What a comfort. It's him that only won. What do we read in Galatians 3 verse 13? Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Poor guilty sinner. Are there those among us tonight? Poor guilty sinner. Soaring because of what you've done. Soaring because of who yet you remain to be. Grieving because you long to keep the law, because you love the Lord, but that you cannot do what you desire. And you know and you understand Paul in Romans 7 of that wretchedness, wretched sinners. Wretched sinners as Paul, who have no more hope in the flesh or of anything of self, but look unto the only Savior, who have faith in him and in him alone, that have learned not only of their guilt, but also that in him is the forgiveness of sins. And if the Lord has led them further, also to know of that blood, of that precious blood that washes them, and of that righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ to cover them. That very same Savior, that very same person whom the Lord has planted faith in their hearts and believe in him, he will return. That one whom they need, that one whom they love, that one whom they long to serve and obey, that very same Lord Jesus Christ, who at the tribunal of God has paid for everything, he will come. He will return. You will see him, and he will come to return. That very same person. No, not another, but the one, that precious Savior, that Redeemer, that one who has paid it all with his sacrifice and his blood. When will he return? Well, in the history of the world, some have tried to predict. He's coming this day. He's coming on this day. But they're all wrong. There are many signs, as we read in the Word of God in Matthew 24, when his time is coming closer. We may study that. He has revealed it. But what did the Lord Jesus Christ say about when he will return? Matthew 24, verse 26. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. He will return at the appointed time of the Father. He came in the time, the first time, and the fullness of time, the time appointed by his Father, and the Father will also, at the right time, at his perfect time, also send his Son to return. How will he return? In what manner? Well, there's different descriptions in the Bible of how he will come. We will only think of one tonight. He will come as a thief. Children, you say he will come as a thief? Yes, the Bible says that. It's an expression to explain how he will come. We read in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 2. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Children, how does a thief come to your house? Does he knock on the door? No. How does he come? Adults, how does he come? Well, as adults, if we knew a thief was coming, we'd stand guard. We'd be ready. We'd protect our house. But a thief comes and takes the owner by surprise. He doesn't send a message and say, I'm coming at such a time. No, he doesn't. He comes at a time unexpectedly, suddenly. Unexpected. The Lord Jesus Christ will return as a thief. What does that mean? He will come unexpectedly. He will come suddenly. Suddenly he will come. The trumpet will sound and his voice. And he will be coming in the clouds of heaven, exalted Lord Jesus Christ on the throne. So what's the lesson for you and me? What did the Lord Jesus Christ say in Matthew 24 verse 42? Watch therefore. For ye know not the hour your Lord doth come. What does that mean? Be alert. More, be ready. Be ready. Watch. Be alert. He's coming. He's coming as a thief in the night. He could come tonight. I don't know. The Lord knows. But the point is, we must be ready. We need God's grace. We need his Spirit. We need to be renewed. We need to be in Christ to be ready for when he returns. And Church of God, who will return? Your Savior, your Redeemer, your Good Shepherd who paid that price. And you are to live with lifted up head, as we read in the Word of God and in the Heidelberg Catechism, looking for his appearance. Looking for his appearance. I can honestly say to you, Congress, I never went in my house looking for his appearance. But Church of God, isn't that how we should look? I remember in theological school they told a story about a very simple man in the Netherlands. Long time ago, he would go again and again to the window and he would look. Is he coming? Is he coming? What a life. What a longing. But isn't that now how we should be, Church of God? Looking? Why are we not looking for his return? Are we satisfied living in our sinful flesh on this earth? Listen to what we read in Luke 21, verse 27 and 28. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up Lift up your heads. Why? Why, Church of God? Why, sheep of the Good Shepherd? For your redemption. Draw if nigh. Who will return? That same Lord Jesus Christ. And he calls you to look up with uplifted head, looking for that day, for what he will do, for redemption. What will he redo when he returns? We will first sing before we go to our second thought. Psalter 139. Psalter 139, the first, no, the last stanzas, 3, 4, 5, and 6. Psalter 139, 3, 4, 5, and 6. Our God shall surely come, nor silence shall he keep. Devouring flames shall herald him, about him storms shall sweep. 139, 3, 4, 5, and 6. Comfort of Christ's second coming. The comfort of who will return? And now our second thought, the comfort of what will he do when he comes again? What will happen when the Lord Jesus Christ, that exalted, glorious Savior who has been given all power in heaven and on earth, when he returns, he shall return to judge the quick and the dead. That exalted Lord of Lords and King of Kings will come and he will judge the whole world. He's that exalted royal mediator by the Father. And at his return, the trumpet shall resound and his voice shall resound, and all those who have died will rise again. Children, every single person, from the very first person that died, Abel, until the very last person that dies upon this earth, will all rise. Listen to what we read in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And we read in John 5, verse 28, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in that which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. They will all, every single one, will be standing upon this earth. All will be raised that ever died. And yes, those also that had their bodies burned and longed to put part of their ashes in the sea and put another part on the other side of the earth, hoping that the Lord would never raise them, but he will raise them all. All those who have been persecuted, all those who have been eaten by wild animals, all those who have drowned and went to the very depths of the sea, they will all be raised. You and I will all be raised. And we will have a different body, an incorruptible body. What's that? A body that will never, ever die. That will never die in eternal wrath. And will never die in the presence of God. What will the exalted, glorious Lord Jesus Christ do when he returns? He will judge. He will judge. He will come. And remember Noah, that preacher of righteousness? For many years he preached of the day of wrath. The Lord is coming. It's a great day. It will be a day of wrath when he executes his judgments upon all his enemies. No comfort for unbelievers. And Noah, he preached for so many years. He pointed to the people. There's an ark. You need to be in the ark. The day of wrath. A worldwide flood is coming. You need to be in the ark, because outside you will be lost. But inside that ark is a place of safety from the wrath. Congregation, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return. And it's a day of his wrath against all his enemies. It's a day of comfort for all his dear sheep. You need to be in the ark. What does that mean? You need to be in that Savior. You need to be covered by his righteousness. You need to be washed in his blood. Because outside of him, God will be a consuming fire. How many perished outside that ark? Maybe some that even helped to build the ark. How many perish that even hear the truth of the word of God, know the truth, confess the truth, come to church Sunday after Sunday, hearing about the need? Daddy's coming, and I'm sin, and there's wrath coming, and God is a God of justice, and I need to be covered. How many perished outside? We only read of Noah and his family being saved. Maybe thousands, maybe millions died outside of the ark. But the question for you and me, are we prepared? Are we ready for that day? Are you in the ark? Are you in that only place of safety, in that precious Savior, hiding under his wings as a poor, wretched sinner? Why didn't they go in the ark? Children, do you think sometimes what foolish people? Noah told them it's going to rain. It's going to be a flood. You're not going to live. Why didn't they go in the ark? Is that your question? Why? It's because they did not believe God would send such wrath against such sinners as they are. They didn't believe they were sinners. They didn't believe there was wrath. And therefore they didn't need the ark. But you, my friend, you hear he will return. You hear he is, you are sin from head to toe. You know God is a consuming fire outside of Christ. You hear of who he is. You hear he even invites wretched sinners. But are you still living in unbelief of who you are? Just absolute sin, and you have no righteousness. It's all filthy. You do not see and believe that God has wrath against you of who you are, and therefore also you hear about a Savior, but you have no need for him. I hope you're driven into that only pace, but also drawn by those cords of love. Driven by the law as a guilty sinner, and drawn by those cords of love by him. The Lord Jesus Christ will return again. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 16. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. What will he do? What do we read in Matthew 25 verse 31? When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, all the holy angels with him, then he shall sit upon the throne of his glory. So he will come upon a throne, and he comes to judge. He comes to judge all the nations, every single person that ever lived. An unspeakable, innumerable multitude will be before his throne, and he will judge. The mediator, God the Father, has exalted him to be the judge. We read this in John 5 verse 22. For the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. And we read, as Paul wrote in Romans 14 verse 10. For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Children, you will stand there. Parents, teenagers, young adults, older ones, we will all stand before that throne, before the Lord Jesus Christ, sitting on the throne of glory. And he will come. And what will he do? He will send his angels, his holy angels, and they will go through all that multitude, and they will. He will separate through his angels, and all to the left hand. The goats will all go there, and all the sheep to his right hand, and there will be no mistakes. It will not be a mixed multitude anymore. It will be separated. The goats, all the goats on his left hand, and all the sheep on the right hand. And he will come. He will separate. You, I, will be on either of these two places, standing before that throne, the judgment throne of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where will you be? Where will you be? Will you be on the left hand? And by nature, we will all only be on the left hand. Left hand. Or by God's grace, that good shepherd who's going to return sought you, saved you, redeemed you, taught you, led you to himself and to his benefits, to his beauties, and that you found that place under him. Will you be on that right hand among the goat, the sheep? What will he then do? When all those are separated, then he will give his judgment. And what will he judge upon? What do we read in the context of Matthew 25? What do we read in those verses? How could we sum it up? What will he judge them on? By their fruits, by their works. We read of all those things, of visiting, of giving clothing, of giving water, of caring, of all those different things. It's all summed up in one word. How would you sum it up? Love. Love for who? Love especially for the family of God. And those sheep, no, they're not saved by works. That's not what it is. But God's grace renews, and there will be fruits by the grace received, and it will be seen in their life. You will see it. They begin to love God's dear children, and they care for them, as we read in these verses. So by grace, they begin to live by the grace received in love, caring especially for the family of God. And what's a graceless person? one who does not live in love, who does not love God, who does not love that one who will return, that never loved him upon this earth, and who do not love his commandments, do not love his will, they live in hatred still. So the sheep have a heart of love. God poured love in their hearts. And love pours out for him and for his dear family. And those goats, their hearts are hard, cold, dead, no love. What do we read in Matthew 25, verse 40? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto me, one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. My friend, you may know now how you will stand before that throne. How you live now determines how you will stand at the left or the right. Listen to what we read in 1 John 3, verse 14. We know that we have passed from death unto life. How? Because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Is there that fruit of love for the Lord, for God, and for his dear family? How will you stand? Will you stand among the goats, or will you stand with the sheep? What else will take place? Books will be opened. A book is there. It's a picture. It's a symbol, children. A book with every single one of your sins is written. Every single bad word you said. Every single thing you took that your mom said you may not have. Everything you did wrong against your teacher. All the sins are recorded in that book. God has a book of memory, as we read in Malachi 3, verse 6. Every single one of us, all our sins are written in the book. So what's the hope then? What's the hope? The only hope is by that precious Savior, that Redeemer who would blot it out with his precious blood. And so if you are living without that Savior, graceless, living for your own account, then you're without God, without Christ, and all the sins are still marked on that book, and it will be on your own account, and you will be forever condemned. But you, sheep, those sins are blotted out on the cross already, and they will be blotted out because of him, because of his blood. My dear friend, how will you stand there? Will you be on the left, on the right? Will you be eternally condemned? Or will you be eternally redeemed? What an infinite contrast. What an unspeakable difference. Where will it be? Another book will be opened, especially you who heard the gospel, who heard the precious gospel, but rejected it. The book of your conscience will be opened. It will come back to you, as Boston said. And then you will only have one thing to say. What an absolute fool. I heard it, but I only rejected it. And you will not have one word to say of all those questions that will be answered. Not one word. You will be guilty. And it will forever, eternally be too late. But we read another book. A book that gives hope. A book that will be opened. The book of life. The book of life of all those whom he foreknew, whom he predestinated, whom he calls in time, who he renews, who he teaches of the need of forgiveness and mercy. And they taste of his mercy, taste of his grace. And whom he will also justify. And maybe they don't know that true experience of their heart in this life. But when he comes again, then there will be that public justification. And they, all those written in the book of the life, they will be washed in the blood of the Lamb. And they'll be clothed with that pure linen. And they will enter in. Who are those? Those who are renewed in this time by the Holy Spirit. What did they learn? That I am sin. As John Newton said, John, how is it with your soul, when he was close to death? He said two things. I know I am nothing more than a sinner, but I know that there is a Redeemer, that I am a great sinner, but Jesus Christ is a great Savior. That's what they learn. And that book will be opened. And the judge, the mediator, he will take all those who were written, saved in time, taught by him, by his Holy Spirit. And what will he do? What do we read in Jude? He will present them faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. What a comfort. He will present them. He will, you, little lamb, sheep, you who are recipients of God's grace. He will present you faultless because you're clothed in him, washed in his blood, but also now resurrected with an incorruptible body, pure, no more sin. He will present you faultless before his Father. May I say with reverence, he will present them, Father, they're mine. You gave them to me. I paid for them. I've paid for them with my blood. And they only, none of them will ever be missing. As a farmer, sometimes you miss an animal. Where is it? You don't know. Maybe lost. But none of his sheep will ever be missing. All of them. Every single one. You who also, who sorrow because of sin. And who say, how can it ever be with me? I don't dare give my name as a sheep. I just feel an absolute wretched sinner. But he, also you, poor sinner, you will be there. And so he will judge them. And then will come the sentencing for both groups. Both groups. Both. And that judge will give an absolute, excellent, perfect sentence. Because we read, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? So first will be the sentence for the sheep on the right hand. They will receive forgiveness. They will be redeemed. They will receive public justification. They will receive salvation. Listen to what they will hear. Church of God, listen to what you will hear from him who's sitting on the throne. Verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. What a message. What an unspeakable message. Come, remember Noah? He was called to come into the ark. No, he didn't just go in there. But God called him into the ark. What a blessing. But now what an unspeakable blessing that they will hear, come. Yes, you may come. Enter. Enter into that kingdom that was prepared for you before the foundation of the world. What an unspeakable comfort. Forever delivered. Forever redeemed. Redeemed from sin, from the assault of Satan, from flesh. Forever be able to enter into his eternal presence. In the presence of that holy, majestic God the Father. God the Son. God the Holy Spirit, with all those angels, with all the saints, into that place of holiness. That place of eternal sweet comfort, never ever to sin again. What a comfort. You see the comfort? That's the only comfort in life and in death, to belong to him. And that he comes to take you home. Oh, church of God, should we not be living longing to be taken home? To be delivered, to be able to serve him with our whole being. No more sinful thoughts, no more sinful desires, no more wicked things that enter your mind when you're praying. To be able to speak to him, to be able to look to him, that he's looking upon you with joy, and you may look to him in joy. What a comfort. But now I also have to speak of the other part, of that other sentence, to the goats on the left hand, condemnation. He will come as the judge from heaven who shall cast all his and my enemies into everlasting condemnation. He will come and he will cast all his enemies, all those who lived without the gospel, and all those who lived under the gospel, but who only rejected it, he will come. Open your Bible to what we read in 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 8 and 9. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. And listen, listen, you who are yet without Christ, you who are yet dead in sins and trespasses, listen, you're very blessed to hear the gospel, but that's not enough. You need his mercy, you need his grace. Listen, to you who still reject the Savior, because the Lord Jesus Christ says, how oft I would have gathered you, but ye would not. It's our guilt. Listen, what we read in 1 Thessalonians verse 8 and 9. In flaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. And no, there will not be any appeals. Today we have courts. And sometimes we can appeal to a higher court. There will be no appeals. It will be final. It will never ever change that sentence. Forever cast out. Forever under wrath. It will never change. Sometimes a judge gives a sentence, and that prisoner, he has good behavior, so they cut it shorter. It will never be shortened. It will never end. Forever under the wrath. Hearing the gospel in this life, hearing him crying unto you, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Hearing him crying unto you, come unto me all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But you only resisted. And he will come with fire, flaming vengeance upon them who obey not the gospel. But today, today, that door is still open. He is still waiting. And his long-suffering mercy and goodness and patience for such unworthy sinners. Oh, may it burn into your hearts that he's coming and you need to be prepared. And if you're not prepared, you will be eternally lost in the wrath of God. Oh, I pray this message would come with an arrow into your heart, and that you would come on your knees before the Lord and beg him for mercy. He's a merciful God. There's an abundance of mercy for the chiefest of sinners. Confess all your sin. Confess the hardness of your heart. Confess your sins against the law. Confess your sins also of rejecting that well-intended, sincere offer of the gospel. Forever lost. And then we read in Matthew 25, verse 46, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment. And we can just read those words, and you can hear those words, and maybe you've heard them many times. Everlasting punishment. Think about it. But the righteous into eternal life, forever lost or forever saved. What a difference. The Lord Jesus Christ is returning, congregation. He's returning. And you and I will stand before him. And how will you stand before him? Will you bow in adoration? There he is. There he is. That precious good shepherd. I was only living dead in sins and trespasses, and I would have absolutely perished. But he came. He spoke. He gave me life. It's all to him. And all the glory will be to him eternally. But you, you who still, in the hardness of your heart, you will bow in terror, begging the rocks to cover you. My friend, I lay it before your heart. Make haste for your life's sake. And Church of God, he will come, deliver you. For those that mourn, they will be comforted with an eternal comfort. And they will enter into the kingdom of God. And they shall see God, we read. As the Lord Jesus said, They shall inherit the earth. They shall be filled. They shall be righteous. They shall obtain mercy and grace forever redeemed. What a blessing. What a comfort for unworthy sinners. Let's end where the Bible ends tonight. Revelation 22, verse 20 and 21. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Amen. Let us close in thanksgiving. Almighty, exalted, glorious Savior of sinners, what a precious message that thou wilt return. Thou wilt come and thou wilt redeem all those poor, wretched sinners who can never deliver themselves, who in their heart is love for thee, and who long to serve thee with their whole being when it's well in their soul. But Lord, who live with that flesh clinging to them, and Satan assaults them so many times, but thou wilt come and deliver them, forever delivered, and they will hear from thy mouth, come, enter in, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. O Lord, give that the hearts of thy dear people may be stirred up tonight, and may it be with a longing, with a looking for thy return, to be delivered, to be able to serve thee perfectly, eternally. But oh, we beg thee, Lord, bless also that thy would return again to those who are yet dead in sins and trespasses. Oh, may they be awakened. Lord, shoot arrows into their hearts, wound them, and that they cannot heal themselves anymore, but they need thee. Bring them to that only Savior who is a Savior of sinners, of wretched ones. Lord, may we take thy word that we heard today with us. Bless us, have mercy upon us, and shine with thy favor upon us, and that we may have our hearts filled with that passion to speak of thee to those around us for thy honor, for thy glory. Lord, may we acknowledge thee for thy help, for thy precious word. Oh, wilt thou look upon us in mercy, then guide us and lead us in this week. We pray for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Let us sing in closing from Psalter 202, all three stanzas. Psalter 202, all three stanzas. In doubt and temptation, I rest, Lord, in thee. My hand in thy hand, thou carest for me. My soul without counsel, through life thou wilt guide, and afterward make me in glory abide. 202, all three stanzas.
Thank you.
dear congregation, receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.